So we're up to the eighth Mishnah of the third Perek. This is a short one. Rabbi Lazar Ishbartota Omer. Rabbi Lazar, man of a city called Bartota, would say, Ten lo mishalo, that we should give to God of that which is in truth already His. Sha'ata v'shalcha shalo. So everything that you have, everything that you are, really belongs to Him. V'chein b'David hu Omer. Ki mimcha hakol, everything is from you, umiyadcha natanulach, and everything that we give to you ultimately is from your hand. So, question that I want to focus on a little bit is, first of all, what does it mean, tenlo mishalo shata v'shalcha shalo? What exactly do we mean by that, that everything is indeed God? Don't we believe in some level, you know, private property, personal ownership? And second of all, how does the Mishnah, by citing David as an example, how does the Mishnah add value? I mean, you know, it seems to be the same idea. Ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha natanu lach. It's an example of the principle. You know, it's rooted in a pasuk, but it doesn't just quote the pasuk. It doesn't say shenemar. It says v'chein b'David hu omer, as if there's something unique about David in this context. So the first thing is that very often people will say, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzedakah, that, you know, really, God is giving you these funds, and a person, by giving them to others in need, is really just doing what God would have had him do with that money to begin with. And that is certainly true. Well, this Mishnah seems to be going beyond, the financial realm. It doesn't just say, you know, shalcha shalo, that really what's your possession is his, but she'ata v'shalcha shalo. So Rabbeinu Yonah and the Bartanura as well pick up on this, and they say it's not just be'mamoncha, but it's be'gufcha as well. That your guf, a person's body, itself is not his or her own. Right? Sometimes you hear a lot of that in the contemporary discourse. You know, persons, you know, medical choices are strictly their own. So that is antithetical to halacha. Just for example, you know, we have the prohibition of ksofes kaka, of, you know, self-decoration with art. It's artistic expression. It's my body. What could possibly be wrong with it? And from a libertarian perspective, it's absolutely correct. What could possibly be objectionable about a person choosing to decorate their body in a particular way? And yet, in halacha, the whole point is that we don't have that kind of sovereignty over our own bodies. Actually, we are children unto God, and God has a kind of a proprietary relationship even over our bodies. And so that's on the prohibitive side. But on the affirmative side, when a person is given a particular talent, there's a physical talent or any other talent, it should be consecrated unto God. If God endowed a person with great athletic prowess, there are ways of using that ability for sanctified purposes, and so on and so forth. V'chein b'David hu omer kim mimcha hakol umiyadcha natanu lach. So the context here is it's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, and it's about the building of the Beis HaMikdash and David HaMelech striving to build the Beis HaMikdash, which is not something that he could actualize in full, but he could certainly lay the groundwork and do some of the preparatory laying of the foundations and some of the preparatory financial work as well, fundraising, etc. And David commenting on this, you know, says, "Ki mimcha hakol," really, you know, it's only appropriate to build you a house because this all came from you anyway. Umiyadcha natan lach, when we give to you, we're really just giving that which you've blessed us with back to you. So I think that the value added, to address the question frontally, in terms of citing this from David, is that, you know, David is a remarkable study in this context. The entire debate in halachic sources over the legitimacy of a human king, something that, you know, from the simple reading of the Psukim in Shmuel, the Jewish people first ask for a king, is a very dubious institution. It's a matter of great machlokes amongst the Tanoim and the Amorayim and the Rishonim, how to understand, you know, monarchy in Judaism and the Achronim as well. So let's say the Rambam in general was a monarchist and believed in Rabbi Yehuda's position. there's actually a mitzvah of having a king, but everybody will agree that there are great dangers that are inherent in the institution. And perhaps the greatest danger of all is that the king begins to think that he's the actual king, with a capital K, or the melech begins to think that he's the true melech, the melech malchei hamlachim, you know, with a capital Mem. And that is a very dangerous thing, and we have many, many examples of how kings began to think very much along those lines. The reality is that the king exists for no other reason than to direct the Jewish people. Rambam writes, Libo Hulev Kol HaKahal, to help direct the hearts of the collective body politic of the Jewish people towards God himself. But it's very hard. The king is in a position of enormous power. The king seeks to perpetuate his own legacy and dynasty. And it's very tempting for the king to, you know, direct people towards his own service and even to the point of worship, rather than directing the people towards God. So I think the Mishnah is saying, V'chein b'David hu omer, when David was remarkable in that as king, he recognized that that was his overriding function, to remind people that whatever they had in life, whatever resources they had in life, whatever talents they had in life, and whatever station they had in life, was only meant to be used to help direct others and society as a whole to God. And in that way, David, who is obviously the melech par excellence, he molds the office, he creates the office in many respects and molds it, you know, in light of his persona. So for David, as a melech, as a king, who would naturally be interested in perpetuation of self and directing people towards his service, for him to say, Kim mimcha hakol, umiyadcha natanilach, a recognition that everything that he is, king that he is only because God, you know, deemed it as such, that that's what God willed, that he should be the king. And there's enormous value added. If the king can recognize that he is only who he is because of God, and therefore says we have to give back to God, and is bothered by the idea that his dwelling place would be nicer than Hashem's dwelling place, as David says, Hinei anochi yoshev beveit arazim, my house is made of fine cedar, va'aron bris Hashem yoshev besoch haklayim, God's house is in the curtains, it's in the Mishkan, that's the impetus for building the Beis HaMikdash entirely. So David really is an enormous value added in this regard. He understood not just talents and not just financial resources, but whatever position a person has in life is from God and has to be directed back towards Hashem.